Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What instrument do you think of that announces a grand occasion, a wonderful celebration? Well, think about the Olympics. What instrument is used as the signature in the Olympic song? You guessed it, it's the trumpet. And just like the trumpet is used to announce a grand occasion, a fantastic ceremony, God uses a trumpet to announce His festivals. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 150, and we're going to read in verses 1 through 6. This is the book of Psalms, chapter 150, and we'll start reading in verses 1 through 6. Here we're going to see how God Himself uses a trumpet for this Feast of Tabernacles and for other such ceremonial celebrations, because it suggests majesty, it suggests great pageantry. It is a great, great instrument to get your attention and to rouse you up for something very special. Let's read this. It says, "Praise you the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him," how? "With the sound of the trumpet." Dun, 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 dun. "Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Can't you just picture the majesty surrounding God's throne as the trumpets sound, as the cymbals are clanged? Oh, it's got to be just a spectacle that is so awe-inspiring it'll make the hair stand up on your head, if you have any hair. Now, let's turn over to Psalm chapter 81, and let's read verses 1 through 3, because we're going to see this blowing of the trumpet again. This is in Psalm chapter 81, and verses 1 through 3. "Sing aloud to God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring Him the timbrel, bring Him the pleasant harp. Blow up the trumpet." And when do you do it? "In the new moon, in the time appointed, on our meaningful feast day." My question to you, my friends, is this meaningful feast day on which the trumpet is blown, what day is this? Well, there's only one out of God's seven annual feast days, out of God's seven annual appointments, on which a new moon occurs. And that festival is the Feast of Trumpets. That's the only one out of the seven that actually begins on the same day as the new moon. All of the other festivals begin on some other day of the month. So this here is definitely talking about blow the trumpet on the Feast of Trumpets, because this is a grand celebration. As you heard in the previous program, when the seventh trumpet is blown by the angel, that's the time when the transition of the world occurs. It's no longer Satan's world, and you know that Satan is called the god of this world, but it's no longer Satan's world. Now it has become the world of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, because He's about to come back to the earth to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. He resurrects His saints. He brings His saints with Him on this Feast of Trumpets. That's what is pictured by the blowing of the trumpet. And He also comes to make war, to put down all rule and rebellion. So there will be no rebellion against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will have absolute rulership, and this will be the first time that God has begun to try to save the world. That's why it is a grand celebration, a wonderful ceremony, and on this time the trumpet is blown. So let's read that again in Psalm chapter 81 and verses 1 through 3. "Sing aloud to God with strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring Him the timbrel and the pleasant harp. Blow the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our meaningful feast day." And again, the only feast that occurs on the new moon is the Feast of Trumpets. Now, this has great significance, which we've already talked about, but I have another question for you. Though it has great significance, keeping the Feast of Trumpets, knowing what it's all about, do you have to keep the Feast of Trumpets in order to be a Christian? I've been talking a lot about how you should know how to keep time the way God keeps time. You should know what time it is according to God's clock, according to His calendar, so that you can keep your appointments with God. And the reason why I've been saying that is because Satan the devil has deceived the world into accepting a different calendar, a different clock, so people don't know what time it is. The holy days reveal God's plan of salvation. It tells us at what point in time we are in God's plan of salvation. And people don't understand it. But just because people are deceived and don't understand the richness of these days and don't observe them, does that mean that they're not Christians? Well, my friends, I'm here to tell you that there's nowhere in the scriptures that you can prove that a person has to keep these holy days in order to be considered a Christian. That's heresy. But it is extremely valuable to keep these days. And if you know to do good, you should do good. For me, I choose to keep these days because of the great value. But I don't judge people that don't keep these days. So let's turn over now to Colossians, the second chapter, and we'll read verses 16 through 17, because I want to show you from God's perspective the truth about these holy days, and if you have to be a Christian in order to keep these, or if you have to keep these in order to be a Christian. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, it says, "Let no man judge you concerning meat or drinks or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ." Now I'm going to explain that scripture. Let no man judge you in meat. Well, you eat meat, don't you? You drink. So it's not saying that you shouldn't eat meat. It's not saying that you shouldn't drink something. But what it is saying is don't let anybody judge you in terms of whether or not you're going to eat meat or drink something. That's between you and God. Same thing in respect of a holy day. Nobody has the right to tell you that you absolutely have to keep this holy day if you want to be a Christian. But in like manner, if people want to keep these holy days because of the great value, then other people should not judge them for keeping the holy days. That's between that person and God. And if a person is keeping the holy days for the right reason, because of the great value, the richness in the meaning, and not because they're trying to earn righteousness by it, not because they're trying to mingle some kind of false teaching with Christ to delude the fact that we have salvation through Christ, if a person is keeping it knowing that they have salvation through Christ, and that is a gift, that it's by faith, and yet they still want to observe these holy days because they see the value of it, then other people should not judge them. After all, people want to keep Easter or Christmas. Those are not things that you find in the Bible, my friends. Those are straight out of paganism. They've been adopted to fit Christian ideas, but they are nowhere found in the scriptures. That's straight out of paganism. Now, another example. Baptism. Think about this. Was David baptized? Was Enoch baptized? There's no evidence in the Bible that they were. But surely God says to us that we should be baptized. Was the thief on the cross baptized? No. But surely we should be, because it has great value. It teaches us about the death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ and how we can follow in His footsteps, dying to ourselves, being resurrected as new creations. That's a ceremony, my friends. If you take communion, that's a ceremony. That's nothing more than a ceremony. You are not eating the body of Jesus Christ. You are not drinking the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a ceremony to teach you something, and you do it on a regular basis because you understand the value of it, or at least hopefully you do. So what I'm trying to show you, and what the scripture shows you, is that there is great value in the observance of the holy days, and you should keep them. You should observe them on a regular basis when they are appointed, in their appointed times. Because not only observing them, but observing them in their appointed times teach us great things. So now notice this part again in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Let no man judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Why? Because these are a shadow. They're a shadow. They're not the main thing. Christ is the main thing, that's for sure. Just like Christ is the main thing, and baptism just pictures what Christ went through, Christ is the main thing. These holy days are not the main thing. They're a shadow of things. But notice this. It says it's a shadow of things to come. A shadow of things to come. In other words, you can understand prophecy by observing these holy days. You can understand the past a lot better if you were to keep these holy days, because they picture something. They picture things that have already come, and they picture things that will come, especially the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, and the Last Great Day. These four, which are the last four out of the seven holy days, picture things to come. They are a shadow of things to come and have great benefit. But we're not into judging you if you don't do it, and you should not judge others that do observe these holy days. So the sentiment is, do not judge one another in terms of condemning people, because it's a non-salvation issue. The same sentiment is echoed in the book of Romans, and we don't have time to read all of chapter 14, but the main thrust of chapter 14 is that love must rule the day. People can observe these feast days. Other people may not observe the feast days. The people that observe the feast days, one person might observe it in a different way than another person, but we should have love. And with that love, we allow for the diversity and still maintain the unity. So let's read in Romans chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 1, and you can read on your own all the way through verse 13. I just want to read a little bit of it here. It says, one man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it to the Lord, and he that does not regard the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that does not eat, which in this case is talking about people that eat meat or people who are vegetarians, so this person that does not eat meat, to the Lord he becomes a vegetarian, and he gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. And so why are you judging your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. So therefore we should not judge one another. Having said that, please know that God wants us to keep these holy days. After all, Jesus Christ and the disciples kept these holy days, and in the future the whole world will keep these holy days.